I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ. I stand in front of you tonight free from a long time of suffering with an eating disorder, and I'm happy to be here. And my name is Betty.
Hi, Betty.
Well, tonight, we finally have come through that part of our teaching series where we have gotten just past all that we've been learning about inventory, but now the next step is the one that kind of brings it all home, and that is the lesson on confess. Let's take a look at principle four, and let's read it out loud together. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. Happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And we're in step five. Let's read that together. We admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. Yes, thank you. Many of you sitting here tonight will probably not remember the name Jessica McClure, but I remember her story very well. 18-month-old Jessica was playing in the backyard of her aunt's daycare center in the oil town of Midland, Texas. It all happened in the time it takes to answer the phone. Little Jessica had fallen down into an 8-inch wide abandoned well, which was on the back of the property. The police arrived within minutes, but it soon became clear that Jessica was stuck 22 feet below the ground in rock harder than granite. It was obvious that this would not be an easy rescue job. The story of the rescue played out over CNN for the next 58 hours. Think about that, 58 hours. People all over the world stopped what they were doing, while over 400 people took part in the effort to save her life, as her cries of anguish could be heard clearly from the pipe above ground. The rescue workers were faced with a critical decision that the rescue would have to be conducted in two phases. Phase one was to simply get somebody down there next to her as soon as possible. Phase two was actually extracting her from the well. Phase one was driven by the knowledge that people tend to do and think strange things when they are trapped alone in a dark, scary place for long periods of time. They get disoriented, and their fears get blown out of proportion. Their minds play tricks on them. Sometimes they start doing self-destructive things. Sometimes they just give up. The good news is that after keeping her engaged, talking to her and getting her to sing little songs like Winnie the Pooh, little Jessica was successfully rescued and did not remember her long ordeal, even though it took 15 surgeries to correct the damage done to her poor little body. Today, she only has a scar on her forehead as a lasting reminder. So you may be wondering, well, that was a really interesting story, Betty, but how does that apply to confess? Well, I think there's a direct correlation. When you finish preparing your inventory, it can feel just like you are in a deep, dark well. In a moment, we're going to fill out your acronym that's in your folder, and then you'll get the idea. But here's the thing. When people like us get serious about recovery, about spiritual growth, when we go on a 12-step spiritual adventure, when we take that first step, we admit that we have some problems that make our lives unmanageable. And when we turn to God and say, God, I need your help with those problems, then we might feel as though we are free falling. In a sense, we are. we're out of control in a way. We can no longer live the way we were so used to living. The old ways just don't work anymore. To complicate matters, on the way down, we find that the problem that we admitted in step one is really being driven by a whole collection of character defects, which have been growing about 5 feet under our own lives. You have to identify those defects. You have to inventory them. As we have talked about for the last 2 months, you have to list them, admit them, and own them. You need to take responsibility for your pride, anger, envy, greed, lust, gluttony, and sloth, the big seven. So during the last couple of months, if you worked step four and worked step four thoroughly, you might be feeling as though you are trapped at the bottom of a deep, dark well. And if you stay there long enough, you can become disoriented and wonder why you took this recovery journey to begin with. You might feel like you want to bail out at this point. You might start making statements like these: I am a totally messed up person. No one's collections of sin and character defects are as bad as mine. If anyone ever found out the truth about me, they would never have anything to do with me. Some people get to that point and say, I might as well just bail right out of this program. Why don't I just go back to projecting that adequate image to everybody and not deal with all this unsettling truth about myself? It's at this critical point in the process that we need to get another human being to come alongside of us in that well just as soon as possible. You need to get someone next to you before you give up and go right back into denial. In a way, the fifth step says that you can only grow so far alone. Then you reach the point that continued growth and healing are going to require assistance from somebody else. We're right at that critical juncture tonight. We're at the point where we are being asked to come clean by telling another human being the truth about who we really are. But how? Well, now you can take a look at your folder. The first letter in our acronym is C, and that stands for confess. Confess your shortcomings, resentments, and sin. God wants us to come clean and admit the wrong is wrong, that we're guilty as charged. We need to own up to the sins that we discovered in our inventory. For the person who confesses, shame is over. And realities have begun. Proverbs 28:13 says, he who conceals his sin does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Confession is necessary for fellowship. Our sins have built a barrier between ourselves and God. For example, last week I realized that I had a really ugly attitude and had started to make some very negative thoughts and let them take root in my thinking. God showed me that I was judging and lacking compassion. You know, every week when we recite the principles, we make the statement that we will reserve a time for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer. That's the time that the Lord often uses to point out the character defects that he sees and is working on in my life. I knew that if I wanted to keep from building a barrier between myself and God, I would need to confess it to him and to someone I trust to hear my confession. The O, the next letter in confess, stands for obey God's direction. Confession means that we agree with God regarding our sins. Confession restores our fellowship. Principle 4 sums up how to obey God's direction in confessing our sins. First, we confessed, admitted our faults to ourselves, to God, and to someone we trust. As surely as I am the living God, says the Lord, everyone will kneel before me, and everyone will confess that I am God. Every one of us then will have to give an account of himself to God. That's found in Romans 14, 11, 2. Then we do what we're instructed to do in James 5, 16. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. So that's what I had to do. I did call an accountability partner and asked for prayer. It's just that simple, and it works. No more negative thoughts. The next letter is the letter N, and that stands for no more guilt. This principle can restore our confidence, our relationships, and allow us to move on from our rear view mirror way of living that kept us looking back and second guessing ourselves and others. I am a professional at that. In Romans 8:1, we are assured that there is no condemnation now for those who live in union with Christ Jesus. The verdict is in. All have sinned. Yet God declares us not guilty. If we trust Jesus Christ, who freely takes away our sins, and that's found in the Living Bible in Romans 3:23-24. So that's the first part of the confess, the C-O-N in confess, or the con is over. We followed God's directions on how to confess our wrongs. After we fess up, we will have four positive changes in our lives. The first is that we will be able to, now the letter F, face the truth. It has been said that man occasionally stumbles over the truth, but most of the time he will pick himself up and continue on. Recovery doesn't really work that way. Recovery requires honesty. Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light." John 8:12. Have you ever noticed that a person who speaks the truth is always at ease? The next positive change that confession brings is E, ease the pain. We're only as sick as our secrets, we've learned. When we share our deepest secrets, we begin to divide the pain and the shame. A healthy self-worth develops that is no longer based on the world's standards, but rather on the truth of Jesus Christ. This is really important, and I'm going to speak it twice because I think it's so important. Pain is inevitable for all of us, but misery is optional. I'll say it again. Pain is inevitable for all of us, but misery is optional. Psalms 32:3 says, "There was a time I wouldn't admit what a sinner I was, but my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration. My strength evaporated like water on a sunny day until I finally admitted all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, 'I will confess to the Lord,' and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone." The first S in confess reminds us that we can stop the blame. It's been said that people who can smile when something goes wrong probably just thought of somebody they could blame it on. But the truth is, we cannot find peace and serenity if we continue to blame ourselves and others. Remember, that's how it started in Genesis. Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and they were stuck in their sins. Our secrets have isolated us from each other long enough. They have prevented intimacy in all of our important relationships. Jesus tells us in Matthew 7:3, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and fail to see the plank in your own? How could you say to your brother, 'Let me get that speck out of your eye,' when there's a plank in your own? Take the plank out of your own eye first, and then you can see clearly enough to remove your brother's speck of dust." Finally, the last S shows us that it's time to start accepting God's forgiveness. Once we accept God's forgiveness, we're able to look other people in the eye. We see ourselves and our actions in a new light. We're ready to find the humility to exchange our shortcomings, as in Principle 5. "For God was in Christ, restoring the world to himself, no longer counting men's sins against them, but blotting them out." 2 Corinthians 5:19. If you asked me to sum up the benefits of Principle 4 in one sentence, it would be this: in confession, we open our lives to the healing, reconciling, restoring, uplifting grace of Jesus Christ, who loves us in spite of ourselves. 1 John 1:9 reminds us that if we confess our sins, he will forgive our sins, because we can trust God to do what's right. He will cleanse us from all the wrongs that we have done. If you came tonight and you know that you are about to get to that step where you must find your sponsor or someone that you feel you can trust to make confession over all the parts of your inventory, you may be a little fearful. You might be thinking about that inventory and knowing that it's in black and white, and knowing that someone may not think as highly of you when you release that. But let me just tell you, after having been through that process myself more than once, it's very freeing. And there's nothing like sharing your inventory with somebody else who's done exactly the same thing. That person has God's mercy in their life, and they know they've been forgiven. And they will help you. They'll help you to see if there are any patterns that maybe can be learned from the things that are revealed by giving sharing your inventory. I hope that you've been encouraged, and I trust that you'll be able to see the benefits of the task that lies before you. Next time that we have a teaching, we're going to be discussing the how-tos of finding that very best person with whom you can share your inventory. But let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you are a God who knows each and every one of our sins, and yet you died for all of them. Whether they're confessed or not, Lord, you sacrificed your life in heaven to be here and to walk in human man's shoes. You faced every temptation without giving in. And Lord, we know we can call on you to make these dramatic changes that will happen if we just obey you and do what you are asking us to do. Would you give us courage every day? Because we know that confession doesn't just happen in our inventory, but it happens every morning when we're examining our lives. When you're looking at our lives and you desire for us to see those character defects, and you want us to make amends, and you want us to do all of those things, but we don't have to do them without your help. And so we thank you for that, Lord, and we just give you the praise. And it's in your name that we pray tonight. Amen.